Hey, what's up? It's Lex and Stacy, Threesome Podcast number 124. What's up, Stace?
Hi there, Lex. How are you?
I am good. Last time we spoke, we had ourselves a political forum. That will not take place this time. We're going to keep it light. Stacy, every once in a while, has to let the air out of the balloon, kids. Otherwise, it's, you know, she's just going to be...
People die.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it cataclysmic events, you know, cracks in the earth, shit like that happen. So we can't have that.
No, not at all.
So that's kind of what takes place. So there's a couple of things we want to talk about. We love our Netflix. Stacy and I both do.
God, yes.
And both of us, we found out, happened on to one of their new shows at the same time. Santa Clarita Diet is what it's called.
Kind of an odd name.
And I saw Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant were in it, so I'm like, okay.
Raylan Givens from Justified, for
yeah.
those of you who don't know his name.
I like both of those people as
yes.
far as, you know, although I have my issues with Drew Barrymore, which I explained to you on the phone yesterday. I don't
yes.
need to go into them. Most of the Lex and Terry P1s already know all about it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this a chance. And I binged watched the whole thing.
Me too.
From 7 o'clock Sunday morning till about 2 in the afternoon.
Because there's only, you know, like 12 episodes, like most TV shows are these days.
Yeah.
But this is only half an hour each episode.
Yeah.
So you go through it really fast.
And it's kind of cool. She dies for the most part, but doesn't die.
They're a couple. They're a happy, loving couple.
Yeah.
They're very funny and cute together. I mean, Drew Barrymore is just cute as a button in this, and he's adorable because I think he's hot anyway. But they're both real estate people.
Yeah,
and they're just very yuppie, just normal, suburban life.
Not super successful ones. They're trying to make it work. You know, they, you know, have a closing here and there. It's just, you know, they have a daughter. And they're just trying to get by for the most part in pretty much suburban California, where $100,000 a year gets you by for the most part. And she somehow dies. I can't even remember because it all just
happens
so quick.
They don't even show if she just starts vomiting. There's actually
yeah.
they're showing a house and she. She vomits a lot.
Yeah, she just has a vomit fest, you know, in two or three rooms of the house, mostly the bathroom. And
the show is, if you're a fan of Ash versus Evil Dead, the new show, which is just amazing, by the way, this is a very bloody in that campy kind of way show.
Yeah. And
not like grossed out, but there's a lot of gore.
There is. And all of a sudden, you see her the next day, so you think, okay, she just threw up. She's okay. But you start to find out after a few episodes, she's not okay.
No.
She's turned into something else. She's not of this earth anymore, but she is. And she now has to have, to sustain herself, meat. Lots and lots of meat.
Yes, raw.
And at first, you know, chicken and hamburger meat and stuff like that was getting her by, but it started getting her sick. And she starts meandering towards humans. And now her husband has to start covering her ass.
It's a comedy, by the way.
Yeah.
It is.
And start finding her people to eat and do it quietly without getting found out. And that's kind of where it goes from there.
It is just a little gem. It's funny. You're going to laugh out loud at some parts. They're dirty. It's great. It's like, you know, they swear and they have really just disgusting conversations that I think most married people have.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's great. And it was a delightful, pleasant surprise.
Yes.
And if you haven't watched it yet, do. It's well worth your time. You will be entertained, we promise.
And even if it's not going to take up a lot of your time.
No.
Because it's quick. It's a quick binge.
It's not going to take up a lot of your time at all, and I think you'll find it to be of your liking. If you don't, yes. I'll be surprised.
Especially if you're listening to us.
Yeah, if you like us, you'll like it. It's pretty much the best way to explain it right there. God, your typing is driving me crazy.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep an accurate description of what we're talking about.
Yeah, so write it down or something, because it sounds like you're hitting a punching bag.
You know, I sat here for how long prior to us beginning recording today, listening to you just tick away.
Yeah, the key word being prior to recording.
Well, how else am I going to write this down?
But nice, nice womanly play there. Loved it.
My vagina says hello.
Oh, God. Hello. I knew it was here after that statement.
She rears her ugly head.
Have you and Lisa been talking? It sounded like it came out of her mouth itself right there. I hate what I've done to that woman. I've turned her into a spin genius.
Well, good.
She is just a sensitive little country girl. Now she like throws my shit back on me, you know, the Zen master.
It sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, look, you will never defeat me in the spin department.
But what if she does?
But
what
I will.
If that day happens.
But I will tell you this: you're getting awfully good.
She's a worthy adversary now,
but,
isn't she?
But to think that you've snatched the pebble out of my hand, no.
Soon. It will happen.
I think so. She's getting pretty damn good. I gotta give it to her. So there you go. I gotta tell you, I've been watching a lot of other TV as of late, and my love of life right now, although it's into repeats, is Later with Jules Holland.
Okay, I've not seen it.
Which is on MTV, and Jules Holland was the keyboard player. Was the keyboard player for Squeeze in the 80s.
Okay.
And
wow.
And he's been hosting this show for 25 years.
Really?
And I've known nothing about it. It's BBC. But MTV airs it, and apparently has been for quite some time.
But nobody watches MTV, so how would we know?
Well, actually, I think it was on the American-British channel for quite some time, and then kind of moved over to MTV not too long ago. So there were some people that knew about it. When I brought it up on the air, there was lots of people that, you know, have seen every episode from every season for the last 20-something years. So it was available over here. But, God, is it cool.
What is it?
It is like seven bands of all kinds of different fame. They could be, you know, pretty much pub band to regional act in the middle of America, Britain, Germany, France, somewhere, to Sting, Muse, Kings of Leon, you know, David Gilmour. I mean, it's, you know, they just have all kinds of a wide array of artists on there. and it's all over the place. But he's basically this guy. He kind of looks like a young Burgess Meredith.
Weird.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. He doesn't sound like that, but that's what he looks like. And
does he swear like that?
No, I'm talking young, like Batman, Penguin, young Burgess Meredith. You know, okay. like you know,
60s,
50, yeah, you know, 50, 60 years old, and he just basically says minimal things throughout the broadcast. He may play keyboards with a couple of the acts because he's quite good, and these bands play about two songs a piece, and it's awesome. You see people play that you would have never watched in a million years, and you know, like he had this one guy on, I can't remember the name of it, but it was kind of funny. But they were from Santa Clara, you know, out in the San Jose type area, and gotcha. They were playing instruments basically homemade, you know, that were like string instruments and percussion. Oh, nice. And the guy was amazing. I mean, the way he was playing this thing that he built was just awesome. I was just, you realize that anybody who wants to make music will. The guy,
right, very true.
The guy probably was pushing 80 years old, but it was very bluesy and very good. And, you know, you could tell he had like a couple of his village friends with him, you know, or it's, you know, you know, small town friends or whatever.
So was there a construction worker and an Indian there?
It was kind of like that. Yeah. It was kind of that kind of vibe. And it was fucking amazing. And then it goes from that to David Gilmour. You know, and then it goes to some weird fucking band out of Australia that was in this fucked up costume. Oil. No, it was like,
that's the only Australian. Well, that and Silverchair.
Empire of the Sun or something like that. And it was... And he had like this totally fucked up headgear on and this robe and had, all these blacklight type, hot chicks playing guitar and strumming at the same time, except I'm not sure that it made any noise whatsoever. It was just part of the attraction of the whole act, but it was cool. And that's I watched it the other night. Muse was on there. Yeah, which I think is amazing. I just think that guy's voice is as good as it gets.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, have you ever heard any of their stuff?
I know Knights of Caledonia.
This song Psycho that they have is a total badass rock song. And then they had the one that was on the radio. I can never remember the fucking name of it. Madness.
I can't either. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's something I probably wouldn't be into normally, and that show got me into it, as well as some other things. It's cool. If you get a chance, try and find an episode and watch it. It's so simply done. It's just seven or eight bands on a huge sound stage with an audience behind them, and he just keeps going from one to the other. You know, he doesn't waste your time with a lot of talk or anything like that. It's cool.
See, now you should watch the music video for Knights of Caledonia from Muse, because it has robots and cowboys, and it takes place in the Old West, and there's lasers.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. They're that type of band. I mean,
it's amazing.
I mean, they're all over the fucking place. Their music is all over the fucking place. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's if you would have told me that Madness and Psycho came from the same fucking band, I would have said you were crazy.
Right.
But it does. And when you listen to their stuff, it's just goes anywhere from Euro techno rock to straight ahead rock and roll to kind of American pop. You know, it's one of those bands.
It's delicious. It's fun.
It's one of those bands where you'd like to, it's like, God, I'd love to see your record collection. What the fuck did you grow up to? You know?
Hey, could you imagine, though, if they sat and told you about this, like, really, really, and you're going to think I'm mocking you right now, and I'm not, but, like, this really intense moment they had a long time ago listening to Bob Seger, would you just hug them and say, you're my people?
Yeah.
See? Music, building bridges.
Yeah.
And I'm not mocking you.
Yeah, yes, you are, but that's okay.
No, I'm not. I love your Bob Seger story. I love that you have these moments. I think that's great.
The beautiful part about that story is I don't give a fuck whether you like it or not.
Oh, my God. I'm not mocking you.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
I taught you well, Stacey.
But I'm not. This is one of the reasons why I like you and love you, Lex. It's
Stacey, I am
you're
the
not
author.
Afraid to have these moments.
I am the author of the totally blowing shit on you, but not making you think so. So don't
but
even.
I'm not. I
you
mean it.
You are, and it's okay. You know, my young student.
I think it's fantastic that you have these moments. I do. It makes you human, and it makes you sensitive and wonderful.
What makes you think I wasn't human and sensitive and wonderful?
Nothing.
Exactly. You shouldn't have needed that moment to realize I'm all those things.
It makes you more so. It makes you uber human and sensitive. How's that?
Listen, I'm a fabulous person.
You are. You're spectacular.
Yeah.
So you're super.
So I don't need you or anybody else telling me so.
No. Your awesomeness knows no bounds.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just would love to see the guy's record collection. Just bands like that freak me out because you tend to, like me, I just grew up on rock. Yeah, you know, so that's original.
Well, in 80s.
Yeah, that's originally what I, you know, gravitate to still. That is the foundation of all the music I love. But some people, you know, have different brothers and sisters and cousins, you know, that listen to different shit and it influences them. And then you get stuff like David Bowie and Muse and, you know, artists that have been exposed to all kinds of different things.
And
it's just
Wall
cool.
of Voodoo. And Pink Floyd.
Yeah, Wall of Voodoo. they shouldn't have even have gotten to be anything.
Oh, come on. Mexican Radio is part
is
of the
one
is
song.
Anything else.
Is
yes.
one song that on a drunken night with a guitar in my hand, I could have made myself.
Well, don't be pissed that you didn't. They didn't pass that chance up. They
I'm
took
not
it.
Pissed, but you can't put them in the same sentence as Pink Floyd. Unless you're saying that or that Wall of Voodoo is no Pink Floyd's, the only sentence I'll allow.
I wasn't comparing them to Pink Floyd. I was just, you know, making musical differences. Tic Tacs.
Better known as mocking.
No.
Yes, Stacey.
No, Lex. I'm not.
You know, you're losing your touch. You're not as you're more transparent than you used to be.
Because I'm allowing myself to be, because I'm being honest. Here, I am not mocking you. I share in your joy of music, and I'm glad that you have moments that touch you.
Let's hear one of yours.
Okay, the afternoon that my father died, after the hospital, I know, I'm going right for the heartstrings. My cousin and I went back to my apartment so I could pack up some things so I could go spend the week at my mom's house for the funeral and stuff. And we ended up just sitting silently in my apartment, listening to Pink Floyd and smoking a lot of cigarettes. And we're just silent for like an hour or two, just both of us sitting there, because he was with us when my dad died, so he got to witness it too. So yeah, Pink Floyd right there for me.
That's nice.
I know.
Sorry about your dad.
Well, thanks. I don't think you had anything to do with that.
You don't, huh?
I had not met you yet, and I don't believe you're that powerful.
I know, it's the best part.
He had his fingers in my life before I even knew him.
And yes, it's Tic Tacs, which is a necessity after having espresso.
Oh, was it good?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it like a flavored espresso, or is it just espresso?
No, straight stuff.
It's not like a chocolate or caramel added to
it. Oh, hell no. Nope, this is, excuse me, I gotta move my Tic Tac over so I can say it's, Casi Cielo.
Sounds amazing, Lex.
It is. It only shows up 1 month a year.
Mm.
And it has a little bit of a cocoa flair to the bean, although I can't smell it. But that's supposedly its deal. I just think it tastes really good. It's really dark and thick and rich and
dark and thick.
Yeah. I know you do. Just like Mr. T.
Which if only he were coffee.
Which segs me into this next conversation perfectly.
See? We're like a cohesive unit.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that was all my doing, so I'm taking credit for it.
All right, fine.
But Dancing with the Stars, as you know, is a joke.
Yeah, but I've never watched it.
But I never miss the announcing of the contestants because in the beginning, if you'll remember, it was a star-studded, you knew who everybody was lineup. Right. And over time has just watered down to, okay, who's that? So
and what daytime soap opera did they star in from, like, you know, 1989 until 93?
Oh, you wish it was that notorious, but we'll start with probably the most famous of them all. Nick of the Bachelor will be on Dancing with the Stars, as if we haven't gotten enough of this guy.
Reality TV show guy now?
He's got to be. He's on Bachelorette twice, and he is now the Bachelor. He's getting ready to select a chick that I guess he's going to marry. I don't know. And he also was on Bachelor in Paradise twice. So he's a five-time Bachelor participant, and it is finally time for him to make his swan song by exiting through Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
So we move on to the next person here. Tell me if you know who this is. Heather Morris.
She sounds like she is probably blonde and has been in some, like, B indie scary movies.
She was on Glee.
Another show that I've never watched.
And a former Beyonce backup dancer.
Oh, well, yay.
So she's a professional dancer, which, you know, A, is pretty unfair.
Yeah, I was just even thinking about that.
You know,
yeah.
Especially when you pair them with another professional dancer. Probably, I would have to say, a favorite to win the whole thing just because of that, unless we run into the same situation.
Let's be honest, she gave the best blowjob.
I don't think she needed to in this case. I really think they've run out of people. Simone Biles, if you watch the Olympics, you know who she is.
No.
She was our gold medalist gymnast.
Oh, good.
So I know who she
is. Again, not really fair because she's athletic and does things.
And her teammate from the Olympics won last year's Dancing with the Stars. Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, see, I know who that is.
Let's hear your Nancy Kerrigan imitation.
Why me? Why? Oh. Why me?
Oh, God. I think I'm getting an erection. That's good. Why me? Why me? Okay, so you know who she is. Next, and here I feel sorry for the poor fucker that has to dance with her. 75-year-old Charo.
Cha cha cha. What was her? No, Coochie Coochie.
Coochie
what was
Coochie.
Her? Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry, I was wrong. She's 76.
Well.
And she'll be dancing with 27-year-old Motsepe.
Now, you realize if Colin Farrell was in the show, he would have already banged that.
Yeah. Yeah, what's his deal?
He has literally fucked everybody. It was when I was still on Lex and Terry with you guys. There was a story, some 70, I mean, this was what, 16, 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Some 70-something-year-old rich socialite, like a New York lady, had told this story about him coming on to her recently, not like, you know, 20 years ago or anything, but like he had come on to her and she's like, you know, sweetie, I am way old. And he was like, I don't care. I need you. And I don't remember if they did actually fuck, but he tried hard on a 70 something year old woman.
I've heard this about him. He's like hit somebody famous, hasn't he?
Angelina Jolie. He's nailed a whole bunch of chicks.
Yeah, but
he's like
but
fucked everything.
I'm talking about older. Oh, there's somebody.
Oh, it was a Liz Taylor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he allegedly nailed her too.
He must have gotten this flavor getting into the business. Yeah, you know, had to fuck some old executives or something. Just decided it's not so bad, and it gets me somewhere. Normani Corday.
No idea.
Let's see. She is, she's with the reigning champion dude. She's in, a Fifth Harmony member.
Oh, no idea who that is.
I'm not sure who that is.
We're old. Sorry, cuties.
Real Housewife, Erica Girardi, 45.
I know the name, but I have never watched any of those shows either.
I don't know which one of these she's on, but who cares? Okay, you're going to love this one. Chris Kattan.
Oh, he's not even like at the top of your list with this.
No.
Oh, poor Chris Kattan. He must have finally gotten out of rehab.
Yeah, maybe. they may have bought his way out just so they could have enough fucking people for this. Then there's
if he like looks at like Jimmy Fallon and thinks I fucking hate you.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Bonner Bolton. You know who that is?
I'm gonna say the Bolton guy's son.
No. That would make too much sense. He is a bull rider.
Oh my God.
Yeah. How about that?
So they were scraping the bottom of the clown barrel.
Yes. We are. Then we move on to David Ross.
No idea.
He is a catcher for the Cubs.
Well, that's good.
And
they've done something big recently, so.
Now on to my segue. 64-year-old Mr. T.
Is he 64?
He is, and he looks amazing. And at the very end, we have Rashad Jennings, who is a running back, was for the Jaguars, and then finished his career with the New York Giants last year. Yeah. And that is your Dancing with the Stars lineup.
I am rooting for the Bull Rider.
At what point do they put a fucking bullet in these shows? I feel the same way about American Idol, about The Voice, about any of these fucking shows that obviously milk the talent to the bone. Obviously, there are no Carrie Underwoods left, you know, American Idol. After season four, you know, you milked your last cow with her. And, you know, of course, Kelly Clarkson came out of that. You know, about a total of five people came out of, how many seasons of that did they do?
Wasn't there 11? I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, there was 11 years of it, but didn't they do like a couple of dual seasons and stuff like that?
Again, a show I never watched.
Yeah, me either.
I just hate reality TV.
You know, and it was obvious to me when that one guy won it with the gray hair, Taylor Hicks, I think his name was. When he won it, that's when it fell off the cliff.
And Clay, the redhead guy,
Clay Aiken.
Yeah,
he was before that. You know, some of the people that lost in the early years. Or even made Final Four were better people than winners at the end.
Right.
And the same thing now is going on with The Voice on NBC. Same type of deal. The talent is not near what it was in the beginning. And not one of these people have become anything.
Right.
You know, it's... At some point, at least American Idol could hang its hat on Chris Daughtry and Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood and Ruben Stoddard. There was another person.
And there's Justin guy who did that movie with Kelly Clarkson, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
With the fuzzy hair.
And didn't they have like the. The one guy that couldn't sing, like the Indian dude. But he was like real good looking, so he like made it almost to the finals, but he couldn't sing worth a shit. That was the you know, jump the shark moment for that show.
Poor Fonzie.
Yeah. Sam asked me the other day about Jump the Shark. And I went, ah, you don't know about Jump the Shark? She goes, no. And I said, all right. I said, there is a huge TV show called Happy Days. She goes, yeah, I've heard of that. I went, okay. Well, it stayed on TV too long. You know, where, and, you know, it was about high school kids in the 50s that it stayed on so long it became high school kids in their 50s. And...
pretty much.
You know, and one of the guys, the Fonz, I said, you've heard of the Fonz, right? She goes, yeah. I said, well, he was in the first episode, first season, he was already out of school and much older than the kids in high school. So,
and he was the bad kid that no one was supposed to hang out with. But
and he was little by little over time, you know, the Fonz became ingratiated with, you know, the rest of the people there and became almost part of the family and, you know, softened and stuff. But at the same time, he was starting to get tinges of gray in his hair.
Henry Winkler, he did prematurely gray.
Yeah. And so they did this episode of Happy Days that he had to, you know, because he was the big hero. You know, everybody wanted to be the Fonz, you know, and he was like the man. And they were just coming up with less and less things he could do to separate himself from what were now grown-ups in college.
Yes.
And
it was the 60s now. They were all protesting.
Yeah.
Smoking pot.
Yeah, you know, and it was just... I said it was just a fucking clusterfuck, and they had Fonzie jump a shark.
Literally.
Literally.
Wasn't he in his jacket? He still had the jacket on, but he was on water skis.
He was like in an Evel Knievel type suit, I think, with his leather jacket on.
I would look it up, but you don't like me typing.
No, go ahead. It's fine. In this case, it's fine.
Okay.
And she goes, where's all this take place? And I said, this is the best part. And I said, Wisconsin.
It's so stupid when you say it out loud.
And she says, how did they get a shark? And I went, yes.
He is in shorts, his leather jacket with the white t-shirt, and a some sort of flotation band around his waist while water skiing.
And the shark?
They're not showing the shark.
Because I still, to this day, am trying to reconcile where the shark part.
What happened? It's been a long time since I've seen this.
No, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to reconcile. If he, you know, if the shark was like in a tank between the two things he was jumping or what have you, but you know, obviously a shark can't live in one of the Great Lakes.
Under Trump's administration, I'm sure they'll try.
Yeah. So now I got to look this up. Now I got to know. What do you ask your computer? Did Fonzie jump a real shark?
And somewhere Google's going, God, what a dumbass.
Yeah.
You All right. should ask Siri, see what she...
Let's see. Popularized by radio personality John Hine in the 80s, the phrase is based on a scene from a fifth season episode of Happy Days in which character Fonzie jumps over a shark while on water skis. So, he jumped a shark, man. And here's the YouTube episode. I gotta see this.
See, but he's in his jacket.
Okay, I got some sound here. Let's see if I can turn this down a little bit. Okay, Richie's driving. Okay, and the shark is under the water. It looks like they're at a beach somewhere. So that's good. They're not in Wisconsin, as far as I can tell.
Here we go, Fonz. I'm heading for the ramp.
Okay, now, Richie's talking to him. You know he can't fucking hear him. And he tells him he's heading for the ramp. There's a bunch of people in shorts sitting around watching the Fonz with gray hair. They're showing the shark swimming around.
Yeah. How could you accept the challenge?
And there's Donnie Most, Ralphie May, with Anson Williams.
Williams, yes.
Yeah. And there's Mr. and Mrs. C. They're down there partying with them on spring break, I guess.
Are Joni and Chachi there too?
You know they are. Yeah, there they are. There's Joni. But she's not with Chachi. It looks like she's with another.
That hussy.
And they have the area roped off where the shark is. And now he's going up the ramp. And he's flying over. He's flying over. The skis are apart. He's looks like he's going to make it. Woo-hoo. Yes! And the crowd goes wild.
Fonzie jumps that shark.
And then Fonzie runs into the pier. Wow. And the best part is, the funniest part is Richie talking to Fonzie like they're next to each other through a boat. Okay, Fonzie lets go of the rope and goes out onto the beach and steps out of his skis and gives the hey.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. Wow. And that, kids, is where Jump the Shark came from.
Yes.
Which signifies the end of a good thing.
Yeah. Actually, technically, yes. It signifies what should have been the end prior to that moment.
It is a metaphor for you have gone too far. Is really what it is.
Just put it out of its misery.
Uh-huh. And I think they... I can't believe that show was only 5 seasons.
I know. It seems like, I mean, it was my childhood. It seemed like it was on forever.
Now, a season is like 26 episodes, right? Yeah, back in
those
days.
In the good old days, yes.
Because now with like Walking Dead, you know, a season's 16 shows. And they split it.
Makes me sad.
And they split it in half.
That just sucks. So stupid and mean.
So where are you at with Walking Dead? I know you watch on Netflix, so where are you?
We have not started the last season that's on Netflix, so I think I am 2 seasons behind.
Oh, God.
Current time. So don't say anything, please.
Okay.
I mean, I know Glenn dies because everyone freaking talked about it on Facebook. Like,
yes.
Hello, spoilers, assholes.
You're so far away from seeing Glenn die, though. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But yeah, Glenn dies. And so do lots of other people all at once.
So, oh, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, is it? But I get fatigued with that show. There's a definite formula with that show. One of which is you notice that Rick's only in every other episode. They shoot you know, different stories and give, like, some of the actors a breather. You know, because there's always, like, 2 different things going on. So,
right.
You know, it's a formula. If you see Rick in an episode, you're not going to see him for 2 episodes.
You know, that's probably a good thing, though, because he has, at least where I'm at, he's become so intense.
Yeah.
With a borderline, you know, psychosis and everything, you can only take him in small doses.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you run the risk of starting to hate him. But at least so far where I'm at, he's still the hero, you know, still at least trying to do the right thing, which is all you can hope for in that situation.
But wait till you get to the new villain. He's awesome.
Is that the one who killed Glenn?
Yeah. He's incredible.
Isn't that Harry Dean? What's his name?
Yeah. Guy with 3 names.
Stan or something.
Yeah. The chicks love him. Yeah, you know, he's like a middle-aged, you know, bad boy.
I think he was, wasn't he, he was Jonah, What's-Her-Face's dead husband in Weeds. So anytime they did flashbacks to when she was married?
Yeah, he was.
I think he was...
And he also did a stint as a private eye on The Good Wife, which is the first.
And he was the dad in Supernatural, I think.
I think you're right about that. So he's been in a lot of stuff, but he's a cool guy, you know. And I thought he was a great selection. Lisa, who's a Walking Dead fanatic, can't stand him. It's almost like he's a real person. You know, she goes, "Oh, that motherfucker." You know, I'm like, "Pretty good actor, huh?" She goes, "I guess." I'm like, "I don't know. You're buying it." You know? He certainly has you thinking some kind of way about him, and you've never met the motherfucker.
I understand that, though, because I've never been able to get over Jude Law being the gigolo bot in AI. I hate Jude Law because he was in AI. I finally got over Matt Damon being in The Talented Mr. Ripley. But yeah. That took me a long time. He had to be middle-aged Matt Damon before I was like, all right, fine. I forgive you.
Yeah.
He was just icky in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, he's have you seen Young Pope yet?
No.
Oh, God. He's the Pope. He's like 38, 39 years old, and he's named Pope.
Oh.
And he's, you know, completely, he's like a Donald Trump Pope.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a pussy grabber.
Oh.
Yeah. He's breaking.
Better than a young penis grabber.
He's breaking all the rules, and he's got cardinals, giving him information on other cardinals, and he's just completely upsetting the balance of everything in the whatchamacallit.
Vatican.
The Vatican, yeah. He's completely just turning it into everything we thought it was.
And poor Pope Francis is trying hard to make not think.
Yeah. All the stuff that everybody has joked about that's going on is.
Good.
And
the Illuminati.
He's so unlikable. He just is a total prick.
And who is this? Is this Matt Damon or Jude Law?
Jude Law.
Okay.
Yeah. And it'll be on Netflix soon enough or somewhere where you can see it. It's a little slow moving at first, but stick with it.
He's also one of the nanny fuckers. Wasn't he with, he was with Sienna Miller. And
he's a nanny fucker.
Yeah, he nailed. I think he got her pregnant, didn't
what
he?
What a great fucking band name that would be.
Nanny fucker.
Yeah, nanny fuckers.
Hello, Detroit.
Hello. Well, the nanny fuckers.
I love posting band names. I tweeted one yesterday, I think, or the day before, but it was the Familiar Cooters.
As opposed to
Strange Pussy.
That's right. Yeah, I love it. It's good stuff.
you said last episode, because you blamed me for not hearing my alarm thing go off. I'm sure this is probably like a 2-hour podcast now.
Yeah, we've gone about 15 minutes past. I heard it go off.
Okay.
So. Whew. Yeah.
Our friend, the truck driver, because he's the one who says that we're not long enough. Yeah, he's on Facebook and on Twitter. And he's always, if you guys could make him a little longer, I listen when I'm driving truck. I'm like, you're going to have to talk to Lex. I would love to make it longer for you, but Lex says no, because Lex is a bastard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Lex is a bad, bad man.
It is what it is. And we just try to keep it... somewhere between a half hour and an hour is what I try to do.
We leave some well-defined wiggle room.
Yeah. Which we're pushing, so we need to go.
Yes. Bye-bye.
But, see ya. We will talk to you next time. Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.